This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Colorado Inn and KFKA present Rams Weekly. Brought to you by Marinda Simpson State Farm Insurance. Here's Brady Hull and Kevin Lytle.
Welcome in to Rams Weekly. I've got the Kevin Lytle in studio. I'm Brady Hull. Got Michael Kirkpatrick still running the board back there. Marinda Simpson at State Farm Insurance proudly brings us Rams Weekly each and every week here on KFKA. And Kevin, I love doing this show with you, man. Good times, bad times, in between. Kind of feels like in between right now with the Colorado State Rams.
Welcome to the best hour of everyone's week.
This is the best hour of everyone's. We already got a texter here. Third best tailgater here. Love that. Are we going to see Brousseau taking snaps in the next game? And if so, how many possessions will he get? If you want to text 888-530-0043, Kevin.
I mean, how many years ago were they the third best tailgater, though? Like, is this a has-been?
Third best tailgater. I think
we know who you are. What was the question? Some Brousseau snaps?
Yeah, Brousseau. Is he going to get snaps?
That's the big question, isn't it? That is the question of the week, the two weeks, really. There's a competition. Jay Norvell said that plainly, that Jackson Brousseau is getting number one reps in practice, so is BFN. I saw that with my eyes, too. I think for the first actual time, probably since Brain took the job, there's real competition for number one. Coaches always say, oh, everyone's job is always up for that, blah, blah, blah. But this is the first time I think it's real.
Kevin, this one's interesting because, you know, when you broke the story over almost 2 years ago, maybe, we're getting close.
Yeah.
About, you know, you and Jay Norvell talked, and basically Jay's bringing it to you like, hey, guys are poaching BFN. Guys are trying to get him. And he's trying to bring light to it. And I at the time, I was like, good. But then I was almost like, well, nothing's going to change unless you start naming names. And then he did at Mountain West Media Days. He named K-State. He named a number, $600,000. And at the time, I was like, good for Jay. And then as it progressed, my mind went to, what happens if BFN struggles? It's going to be very difficult to bench him after all of that. But maybe enough time has passed where it's not going to seem like such a big deal. Rams fans are more concerned about getting the best quarterback out there than keeping you know, a promise to somebody that was loyal to you.
Yeah, I mean, When job security becomes part of the conversation, which, you know, again, it's not like any breaking news, but Jay Norvell's in year four of a 5-year deal, and you need to win games. Loyalty only goes so far, and you need performance on the field. Yeah, I think I've wondered this a lot myself of, in hindsight, would Jay have wanted to make that public in the way he did? I don't know. I mean, I think at the time it was trying to rally the troops of kind of tell boosters like, hey, we need to get going or we're going to lose players because other people are coming for them. But heaped a lot of pressure on BFN. Not that, you know, what happens on social media necessarily matters, but there's no doubt that whenever Braden struggles, you see those tweets from people sort of in mocking of like, oh, really? This someone offered 600K?
Yep.
That's tough. That's a lot of pressure. And yeah, even with the job competition, you do wonder if that's even subconsciously impacted any of the competition there. It's tough.
It's very tough.
I definitely, you know, if you go in the time machine, wonder if they would have handled that differently.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Texter here from the 303. Kevin, how much regret do you have not taking me up on Brady's shock collar idea? Dude, the hot seat just got hotter. I mean, it didn't get any cooler after last weekend.
Yeah, I guess, how do they know you don't have a shock collar?
Yeah, it's true. They don't know. This is radio.
This is radio.
I don't have the cameras in here
yet. You're just really good at not flinching when I hit the buzzer.
Yeah, I've gotten really good at it because I say...
You have high tolerance because you say it a lot.
I say hot seat. I say Jay Norvell in the hot... Well, you know me. I'm a radio guy. We want the stories. I mean, you
Wait,
dig you, up the stories,
you do
too.
Do radio?
I do the radio thing. Thursday Night Special, you heard of it.
I read about it in a magazine.
I'm surprised you haven't done a write-up on it yet. Like a full three-page write-up.
Well, Home and Decor beat me too, and they got the exclusive rights.
Third best until someone takes the title from me on the text line. Chorizo cannot wear this crown. I love it. We're getting the Rams fans in here. This is the chance to air it out. Ask Kevin the questions. I mean, you do your mailbag already, but this is like spot live. On, man, on the fly.
This is live.
If you have questions, 888-530-0043. As the Bears are on, or the Bears lost to the Rams. The Rams are on their bye week. The Bears are taking on South Dakota. I don't know what's going to happen in that game. Yeah. But here's the thing, the way I look at it too. I'm trying to be somewhat respectful to Ed Lamb and the Bears. But I even told him on the podcast, I was like, Ed, Rams fans view this as an embarrassment. If they would have lost, it would have been a major embarrassment. The fact that they won, a crazy way they won. But it's not a knock on the program. It's a knock on these are two different universes.
Yeah, they're playing at different levels. It's like if a five, again, I don't want to disrespect, but if a 5A in high school plays a 3A or something like that, it's not a knock on anyone. It's just different levels of the game, different resources. I mean, Ed Lamb certainly isn't going to deny Colorado State has a different resource level than Northern Colorado does. That's just the fact of college football. Just like when Colorado State went up to Washington, the Huskies have a way different resource level than Colorado State.
So let me ask it, the HS question, the seat that is, you know, warm from fire being underneath it. Certainly, I already asked you this in our burning questions that I ask you every single Monday, and you put it out there. We put it out on X. It definitely got hotter.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure goes up. The line I've written is, so you have your extreme fans. There's the one side that pretty much no matter what, they're going to be loyal to whatever, you know, their program is, whoever's in charge. They just, you know, rah-rah, go team. That's great. You need that. You have the other extreme that kind of are always mad, always expect better, more, whatever, want people fired. That's the other extreme. That's okay. You need that too. Then, despite what maybe sometimes it feels like on social media, a lot are in the middle, somewhere in the moderate level of obviously root for the team, but want success, have some level of expectations. When you lose moderates, that's when you get in trouble as a coach. It's easy to lose the extreme people because they're extreme. It's really, really hard to lose the rah-rah, we believe in our team no matter what people. But the moderates make up a big chunk, and if you lose them, you're in trouble. A game like that loses some. I mean, just flat out, it does. Yeah. Especially if there's some that enter the season saying, well, I have some questions, but I'm optimistic. Playing like that can lose some of them. So I certainly don't think Jay Norvell's lost all of those moderates. That, again, some people on social media will scream and say, yes, they have. But that's just not true. But you do lose some, which increases your pressure, which increases the pressure on each subsequent game. And I've said, since the schedule came out, the final two games of non-conference play are potentially the most important for the season because of when they come and what it can kind of set the tone for moving forward. So I still feel the same, just more significantly now, because of how that UNC game went.
And when I talk about hot seat, I'm not a big fan of firing guys in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Unless they do something off the field.
Yeah, right? Totally. That's always a different.
I'm just not of the mindset that the guys that your guy hired are going to come in and replace him and it's going to be fine. Now, sometimes that works, but rarely does it. I when I talk about this, it's more about when the game ends against Air Force at the end of the season. Does Jay Norvell get fired? Because he's got one more year left. Does he get fired or does he get a contract extension? And that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm not advocating for a move or anything like that to happen in the season.
Yeah, and the messaging I keep hearing is, realistically, people at CSU expect the team to be 1-1 right now. They are 1-1. Did it go exactly how they would have thought?
Maybe not in both games even.
No, of course. Yeah, of course not. But everything's still out there. Mountain West looks, as the youths would say, mid.
Yeah.
So it's gettable. You have, like I said, your two big non-conference games ahead. It would be a rush to judgment to make a judgment right now. It's too early because there's so much of this season left. And I do keep saying, not that there are things I'm concerned about, no doubt. Some things I'm quite concerned about for CSU. But weird early results happen. UNLV barely beat Idaho State in week zero, and then they just beat UCLA the other day.
Yeah.
Boise State, a couple of years ago, if you remember, they lost to Oregon State 0 week or week one. They lost to UTEP a couple weeks later, which looked really, really bad. And it's like, oh, yeah, the empire has fallen. Boise is done. Guess what Boise State did? They went undefeated in Mountain West play.
Yep.
Now, I'm not guaranteeing or saying CSU is going to go undefeated, but early season college football results can be weird. and I'm not going to burn everything down because of a victory.
Well, and here's what's interesting. If UNC goes to South Dakota and beats, that's an 18. Even though they're 0-2, they're ranked 18 in the FCS. And if UNC beats them, and then next week CSU takes care of UTSA, suddenly it's like, well, wait a second. Maybe this UNC team might be a juggernaut in at the FCS ranking. So things can change in a couple weeks. It's just the optics right now are
negative. I think it's alarming how CSU kind of sleptwalked through, especially that first half. From watching that, I definitely wonder, did that team think, well, yeah, we put a lot into the Washington game. We went all in on that. Now, it's UNC. Then we got bye weeks. Let's, we'll show up. We're CSU. We'll play. We'll win. And then let's get ready for UTSA. Is not a great sign for some potential locker room maturity, I guess. But it's also 18 to 22-year-old kids who, despite, the next game is the most important game, blah, blah, blah. They know those various levels of college football as well as anyone and maybe had that mindset of, well, let's just show up, win this game, and then go rest and prepare for the bigger games. Again, that happens.
Well, here's the positive of it all. It looks like CSU's backfield is going to be really good.
I really like the running backs. Jalen Dupree looks good. Maybe would like more carries for him. That's maybe a different conversation, but he's been good. Lloyd Avant, I thought he would be a solid player, but he's been better than I expected.
He runs angry, man.
Yeah, he runs with aggression. So that's why, yes, I really like Jalen Dupree, but I don't think you want to kill him with 30 carries a game. It's a long season. Justin Marshall, we know, can be good, but always has injury issues. Hopefully he can stay on the field. And Javian Kennard, the little freshman, I think we're going to see him at times. He's pretty dynamic. So, yeah, that running back room, really good. And the O-line, I think they've been pretty good overall, but I think especially in run block, they've been good.
What is it on the negative now with BFN, you're seeing? Because it does look like at this stage he has been worse than he was last year. And again, the Washington game, he had some big moments, though.
Yeah.
It's just in this last game, normally I'm used to seeing maybe a bad moment and then a couple of good moments and then maybe a bad moment here. It was pretty much all bad until that final touchdown.
Yeah, were there any, really big time throws? They moved it late for that game-winning touchdown. So I guess, there were some successes there, but there weren't the high points that, like you say, even some bad games you've seen. Looks a little lost, a little devoid of confidence, making some sloppy mistakes early on, just some flat misses of plays that should be made. And then it's the weirdest thing that, he goes and leads a game-winning drive, including pretty good scramble and run on that third down because – let's be real. There are some folks there, probably myself included, that on 3rd and 10 or whatever it was, were thinking, oh, man, what if this ends? Because CSU is only down 3, so they could have kicked a field goal. Obviously, overtime isn't ideal, but it keeps you alive. But it had to be in some people's mind of, what if a turnover happens here? Instead, really good scramble, really good run. Obviously, the referees had one bigger situation, but I don't know how they missed him being in the end
zone. Very obvious.
The crew just was not good.
They were not good.
So all credit to BFN there, but it a drive like that is, again, kind of your point. What makes you kind of shake your head and be like, why so erratic? Why is this not more consistent? Now, not saying you're going to score a touchdown every drive, but, man, you see some of the plays, and it's like the potential's there. I think that's what we keep seeing, but it's just not consistently seen.
Honestly, even against Washington, it's like, man, they're right there. It's 21-21. There's big-time decisions come up, and then an interception, and then the fake field goal thing. You see a lot of that potential, but it's just like, and maybe not in the UNC game, but in games like Washington, there's always like 3 or 4 things that you walk away from that game going, why did Jay call that? Why did he go this way? So it's a weird spot right now for CSU to be in on a bye week, and it's a long week for Rams fans.
Yeah, I think a stressful week for a lot of people. Quarterback competition can be awkward, but it is on.
19 minutes after the hour, Rams Weekly here, presented by Miranda Simpson, State Farm Insurance. If you guys want to text questions, thoughts, concerns, 888-530-0043. We'll get to some of those texts coming up next, but we'll take a quick break here. Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. just 23 minutes after the 2 o'clock hour here. You're listening to Rams Weekly with the Coloradoans, Kevin Lytle. I am Brady Hull. Kind of trying to put that one to bed as far as the X's and O's go. But, Kevin, let me get to a couple of texts here, but I also want to talk to you about like the in-game stuff, which I know you're working, you're in work mode. It's hard to pay attention to a lot of that stuff, but my mind gets lost in between plays, so I'm paying attention to a lot of like the train horn, all that stuff. We'll get to it. 303 says, Kevin, do you expect to see the West Coast offense we saw last year going forward? More pre-snap reads and more play action in the passing game and fewer chances for bad decisions post-snap.
Yeah, I do wonder if they'll go back to a little bit of that, because again, some of your strength is run game, run blocking, and then especially, you know, with like a Jackson Warren and some Rocky Beers out of that, you could have some pretty good play action options. So I think that's on the table, yeah.
Another texter here, and I don't know. I kind of agree and I kind of disagree. CSU should play UNC every year, from the atmosphere to the game itself. The game last weekend proved it. What is it going to take to get them to play each other again? The tough part about that is CSU, like, there's nothing to gain in that game, right?
Well, I do think, you know, most teams, most FBS teams schedule one FCS. If CSU is going to have an FCS on the schedule, it should be UNC, is my feeling. So
it would be cool. It's just, man, if you take that risk, if you lose that game, that's
so
tough.
I don't think it, I mean, it generally isn't a risk. One game came very, very close, but I don't think you let that change your scheduling philosophy.
It would be great for UNC because I do know
You make some money.
You make money. You gain some fans that I really was hoping UNC was home this weekend against South Dakota, because I'd be curious to see if some Rams fans were like, hey, we're going to go check out the Bears and see what that team has to offer. But no, interesting. As far as the game itself, like the stuff in game, I think John Weber has done, and Amy Parsons, they've done a phenomenal job. The train horn was obviously the big discussion there. I love the concept of it. It was just a little bit too loud there, Kevin.
Yeah, so when Canvas Stadium opened, they had a train horn sound for third downs. I honestly don't really remember when it sort of disappeared, phased out, but I think it did over past couple of years. But I like the idea. I think it's very Fort Collins-y. I mean, anyone that has spent time or lived in Fort Collins kind of knows the frustration of the train at times. So to kind of spin it into like a fun, positive thing, I like. They got a new train horn, which I believe is a literal train horn, like from a train. I don't know. Like, is that on eBay? I don't know. But it's just too loud. I have my boomer moments, but I don't think stadium noise is one of them. Like, I'm kind of down for whatever. But that was too much. And, you know, I had a lot of texts. And again, I had some from people that I would consider not complainers about stuff like that. They were like, this is too much. And, you know, I think, you know, social media kind of said the same thing. You know, a lot of people being like, hey, you know, John Weber, love you, but this has got to go. And yeah, he responded to a lot of people, but the basic gist was working on it, train horn 2.0 come September 20th. So I'll be interested here. Again, I don't really know the logistics of a train horn. If there's just a knob you can turn the volume down.
Yeah, if it's just an easy turn down.
I don't really know, but I like the idea. Execution maybe just a little too loud.
Yeah, I mean, they were so third downs, the Bears had 14 third downs. So not we heard that 14 times at least, but there were a couple of screw-ups
I think they used it some extra times, maybe on some fourth downs too. Obviously, like when a penalty happens, it can kind of mess people up of like, wait, is it now a third down again or is it a second down or whatever? So yeah, maybe a little bit overused there, but you can easily tweak that. I think there will be some changes come UTSA.
Texter here from Faith. I love a great college atmosphere, but that was just a lot. But see, that's what I like is we're all talking about a train horn, and that's what you want. You want to have something on game day that's kind of yours that you can really own. And I think with the tweak there, it's going to make it much better. But that's what you want when you're at a game. You're like, oh, here comes the train horn on third down.
Yeah, if they can kind of tweak that so it's more fun, less ear-shattering, it could become kind of a fun thing.
Yeah. Well, because in the other side, we were thinking of different sounds like you could use, but what you say makes sense with the train in Fort Collins.
Yeah.
You can't really use a ram noise. That's not really...
No.
Unless you just had, like, horns hitting each other.
Yeah, you know, a lot of places kind of just have your generic, you know, the jumbotron say make noise and people yell and whatever, and that's fine. But if you have a unique thing, like, I like it.
I do like too.
The idea.
Yeah, 100%. You were around. You got there pretty early, didn't you, Kevin? To kind of roam around. And
early.
What was that atmosphere like compared to last year's Rocky Mountain Showdown? Like the before the tailgating and all that stuff.
Different. I mean, that was Showdown was combo, like a giant frat party, but also with a bit of a negative. I won't say negative, but a little bit of a hostile energy. Like there's some anger there. Whereas Ag Day, big party, but in a fun, festive, literal barbecue type of way.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was fun. I think CSU is continually, even going back to Joe Parker, every year they improve the tailgate scene from when Canvas opened. And again, that makes sense. It's such a giant change. It was going to take some time to tweak. But they kind of keep tweaking things, improving things. I was around the Ag Day barbecue a lot, and there are a ton of people that go to that and use it, and it seems like they streamline things as well as you really can with a big crowd. I think they do a really nice job. They kind of tweaked the ram walk, so they now pull up right on Meridian, is it there? Kind of right by where that Ag Day tailgate was. I thought that made a nice, kind of team entrance thing. So yeah, I think that the atmosphere and everything was good. Like I say, a different energy from the Showdown game because of the hostility that came with that game, but a really good, fun crowd.
Yeah, what I like about it so much, too, is what John's doing is responding. I know you noted that he responded to a few of the fans that were criticizing the train horn. Maybe not the actual idea, but just too loud. And instead of just ignoring it or tweaking it without saying anything, I do like an athletic director that's not like, we don't have to respond to the fans. Because that's what you're doing. You want the fans in the stands. And if a fan gets a response from the athletic director, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the communication matters, especially in this case. Like, imagine if there are all those complaints, but CSU doesn't play for 2 weeks. People will just think, this thing's going to be a nightmare and CSU doesn't care. He quickly kind of nipped that in the bud. Was like, yep, heard that. We got 2 weeks. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
And now no one's really, it's whatever. We'll see what it is on 20th, but it's kind of whatever. Well, it's certainly better than clapping back at fans and saying not nice things.
What do you want us to do? We try to give you a train and you don't like it? Well, I guess you just don't have to come.
Yep.
Yeah, that could be the opposite, the negative side of it that you don't want to see. So game day, they're tweaking it. They're working on it. That's cool. Obviously, it was a special day, too. It was Ag Day, but the retiring of or the honoring of
the
Ring of Honor. I think I love that. I'm all in on that stuff because that gives people like me stuff to debate all the time. Should this guy be on
who
there?
Who should be next?
Who's going to be eligible?
Like that.
Four guys, obviously amazing, amazing figures for Colorado State. Do you think it's going to be like four or five guys every Ag Day kind of deal, or how often?
Yeah, I do think probably annually there's going to be additions, especially right now, like since you're just starting, there's some quote unquote catching up to do. Because there are some other, like I think those four, so Sonny Lubick, Bradley Van Pelt, Joey Porter, and Al Bubba Baker, that was a pretty clear group that certainly they're all worthy. There are others who are obviously also worthy. But you're kind of catching up right now. So you did some obvious ones. There are probably a few more obvious ones to do next year. And then slowly you'll kind of catch up. And then it'll be more like, okay, who in recent memory, recent history has earned it? But I think a really good step. CSU for too long has kind of ignored too much of history. Now, I don't think everyone should, it should be hard to have your number retired.
I think so.
And this is a nice middle ground of CSU's had some great, great players. Not necessarily number retired, but great players who probably deserve some recognition. There's a great spot for it.
Are these
and it's cool. Sonny Lubick was there. Joey Porter played for him. Bradley Van Pelt played for them, so they all got to hang out. Al Bubba Baker looked really emotional about it. Like it seemed like it mattered a lot to him, and their families were there. It was cool.
Are these numbers that are retired, or are these just names?
So they, okay. Yeah, it's. I mean, the name kind of says it. Ring of Honor. They're honored, but their numbers are still in circulation because, I think they want a number retirement to be like a really big wow.
Yep.
Like, you've got to be top of the top of the top of what you did at CSU and potentially after. This is that kind of next step down of, like, legends. But you can't retire every number.
I'm going back to when I really started diving in on CSU stuff was probably like around 2011 or 12 or something like that. I think the end of Jim McElwain's run. In recent memory, Are there guys that you look at and say they'll be up there, like a Michael Gallup or Garrett Grayson? Anybody else, anybody that sticks out to you particularly?
Yeah, so a couple recent, quote-unquote, like last decade-ish that I would think of. You know, Trey McBride is going to he's a potential number retirement guy.
There you go. Yep. How did I not
say Trey McBride? He won the Mackey Award. Obviously, he is well on his way to a legendary NFL career. I think he has a chance to be a number retirement. He's certainly going to be a Ring of Honor. Now, again, they'll wait until his NFL career is done. Partially, he can't come back to be part of a ceremony right now because he's a little busy on weekends. He's a little busy on weekends. Shaq Barrett is a guy. He didn't have a necessarily super long CSU career because he was at another school, but an incredible one. And then, obviously, a great pro career. Gallup is one. You know, again, a couple of years, but it was awesome. Grayson, I think, is a Ring of Honor candidate as well. In recent memory, I'm trying to think. I'm sure I'm missing. Weston Richburg, maybe.
Yep.
I'm trying to run through.
Good NFL career. Higgins, is that one?
I think Hollywood would have a pretty good chance. I mean, certainly if Gallup does, Hollywood should. I think those guys. And then there's some other older player like Gary Glick, I think should be. I mean, he's a number one pick. Gary Glick should be up there. I think he probably will, you know, posthumously, unfortunately. But I would need to, you know, like, I don't know, is a Moses Moreno a candidate? I would think so. Steve Bartolo. I'm kind of just ripping off some names now. But yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think there's going to be a few years here of, like, just catching up.
You think they'll try to sprinkle in, like, if they're going to do two or three or four maybe every year? You get some of the older generation and then maybe add one of the more
spread across eras a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not in defined lines, but a little bit like, okay, here's, you know, a quote unquote old timer, someone, you know, more kind of middle past, if you want to call it that, then, you know, a little more recent. I could see them doing that too. Again, because you know, you're doing a little bit of catch up here, so you can spread it out.
All right, Kevin, we've got to do a few things here coming up. I want to go through scores with you. And then we got to do our rankings.
We're a little rough last week, mostly counting. Counting all the way to 12 is pretty hard.
It's very difficult.
We're going to be way better this week. We're going to count at least to like 8 before we fall apart.
I might just have to post these two. Our logo guy, dude down the hall, is gone. So he's actually going to South Dakota, not to the game. He's got a golf thing. So we'll just post these out later
We'll do a better job this week, though. I've been practicing my counting.
You got your counting down. And let's go through these games in the Mountain West Conference, too, and kind of get Kevin's thoughts of where he thinks these are headed. First one coming up on Friday night, New Mexico and UCLA. 2:35 the time. Rams Weekly continues. You're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
To Rams Weekly. Kevin Lytle, I feel like we should do our Mountain West rankings right now instead of your score predictions for how this weekend is going to go down. So last week, we had some movement with some of our stuff, but number one, or wait, we want to go from bottom up.
Yeah, right? build the drama up.
So we're going to go.
These are pretty darn volatile right now. We have such a small sample size. They're super volatile.
And sometimes,
but this time we learned how to count from 1 to 12 or maybe even 12 to 1.
Yeah, we're getting there. Because we forgot a team last week and we're like, well, we got to put that in there. And then I kind of screwed us up on that. But last week we had at number 12, Nevada. And Nevada barely beats Big Sky School in Sacramento State 20-17.
Yeah, a very dramatic ending. We'll keep it there.
Yeah, I like it. San Diego State got absolutely worked by Washington State 36-19.
Yeah, and that's a Washington State team that looked bad week one or week zero, whatever. So,
all right, at number 10, a team. Now, again, they lose to the at the time the number 7 team in the country, 38-7, but maybe enough to keep them out of the bottom two in San Jose State.
Yeah, they're just a hard one to evaluate right now. Had a ugly week one loss and then a very predictable loss.
All right, number 9. Another, you know, okay, you win 32-22 over Idaho State. New Mexico?
Yeah, they're another one I struggled to place because they played Michigan pretty well. Beat Idaho State, which they're supposed to, but I don't think you can take anything for granted with them. But good win for them.
How about this one at number 8? We've got this game, again, Texas A&M rolling, but it was a much better second half for this team.
Utah State did some good things, and they beat UTEP pretty handily the first week. So that honestly, they're maybe too low, but they'll have time to prove it.
All right, so this
is Utah State, if I didn't say that.
Utah State at number 8. A lot of movement here. You know, the game against UNC moved. We had CSU at 3 last week. They dropped 4 spots there. Now we've got them at number 7.
Yep. And again, their prove it time is coming. We will know a whole heck of a lot about CSU in 2 weeks.
Our diehard Cowboys fan, Go Pokes, is going to be happy about this. Yep. Where we're putting, who we're putting at number 6.
Yep. Moving on up, Wyoming at number 6. 2-0. You know, haven't, you know, they beat one of the worst FBS teams in the entire history of the world in Akron, and then in FCS in Northern Iowa. But 2-0 is 2-0. You play to win the games.
And they avoided a weird upset.
Now, fun, weird matchup. Utah going to Laramie this week. Devin Dampier.
Yes. Yep. Devin Dampier back at it.
Utah looks really good.
Yeah, Utah might be a problem. I think there's
Wyoming's next 2 weeks. Utah home and at some other school in Colorado.
And it's a late game, too. Like, I think 8:30 or 8:15 kickoff or something like that. Number 5, they moved down just because they didn't play.
Again, and, I mean, like, but we have nothing to go on with Air Force because they've played Stony Brook and no one else. But they first conference game of the year, actually, they play Utah State this week. So, again, those are two teams we're pretty unsure about. So we'll learn something.
We're pretty high on this team, I think, both. Hawaii beat Sam Houston, our old pal, Big Hub, second team, Sam Houston. Hawaii wins 37-20. And Hawaii's, because they played in 0 weeks, so they're 2-1. We like them at number 4, top 5 in the Mountain West.
I believe them and UNLV are the only Mountain West teams with 2 FBS wins. Is that
right?
I believe that's right.
Yeah.
They beat Stanford earlier and then Sam Houston. So, yeah, Rainbow Warriors, they're looking, they should be a bowl team, I think.
Well, at number, oh, here it is, the other one. Fresno State beat up on Oregon State.
Yep.
They got their second win. They played Kansas in that 0 week, right?
Yep.
So we like them at number 3.
Yep, Fresno State, again. It's hard to know for sure, but a win at Oregon State's pretty solid. So their one loss, I think you can write off losing at Kansas as an okay defeat.
Number 2, they beat up on a team they were supposed to beat up. Boise State took it to Eastern Washington, 51-14.
Again, you know, that South Florida loss is looking a little better now, given what South Florida did to Florida. And then, yeah, Boise did what they're supposed to do. So, we still need to learn more.
Yeah, and
but benefit of the doubt.
UNLV took care of UCLA. 30-23, closer game, but
yeah, but, you know, it's early, but I rang some alarm bells after their ugly win over Idaho State. But then you beat UCLA, who obviously is quite down. But you can't ignore being UCLA.
No.
So 3-0 to UNLV.
So we got UNLV.
The Mountain West is happy.
Boise State, Fresno State, Hawaii, Air Force, Wyoming, CSU, Utah State, New Mexico, San Jose State, San Diego State, and Nevada. So we'll see if anybody's going to move
up. Those are 100% accurate. Oh, no arguments needed.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero argument. I'll put that out later on tonight, Kevin. All right. So here we go. We got New Mexico at number 9. They're taking on UCLA tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. UCLA is a 14.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I think UNLV, New Mexico's showing feistiness. I think they'll hang in. UCLA is going to win.
Cover that spread, though?
I'll say New Mexico covers it.
Saturday is an interesting one. Utah and Wyoming.
I thought you were going for Middle Tennessee, Nevada.
That's the one I've got on my radar, for sure. That's the one I'll be recording and probably watch that a couple of times. But a little rivalry renewed this weekend
old Mountain
in
West
Wyoming.
Foes. Yeah, I'm good on Utah for playing that game. That's fun.
Yeah, they honored what they were supposed to do in 2020, right?
Yeah, fun.
Yeah. They got an old friend, Mountain West friend playing, too.
Yeah, Devin Dampier. You and I both, I think, love him. Like, we're
big fans. Dude, New Mexico was fun to watch on offense last year.
I think Utah rolls them.
You think they cover that 23.5?
Yeah.
Air Force and Utah State. I'm actually really interested to see how this one kind of
breaks
down.
No idea what to expect. On. Like we said during the power rankings, we certainly don't know anything about Air Force given their one game. I think Utah State's going to win that.
Utah State is a 3.5-point favorite. So there you go.
Yeah, I guess mine says Air Force favorite.
Oh, my fault. Sorry.
Yep, I thought maybe we were looking at
the front.
Said it
wrong. So, yeah. Last week was numbers. This week is more numbers, but there was a minus and plus in front of it. So Air Force, 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I have Utah State winning.
So. All right. Middle Tennessee and Nevada. Nevada's only a 9.5-point
favorite.
That's
not the best football game in the country this weekend.
Nevada covers that, right?
I mean, they barely beat Sacramento State.
So maybe they don't.
But Middle Tennessee is pretty terrible. Sure, Nevada win and cover.
All right, Southern something is going up against Fresno State. Just Southern. No line on this game.
They're south of somewhere.
They're south of somewhere.
Fresno cruises.
Portland State and Hawaii. Hawaii should absolutely dominate.
Hawaii cruises in this one.
There's no spread in this one, but I would imagine.
No, Portland State's pretty awful.
So we'll see kind of how this ends up. Most interesting, I think the Air Force, Utah State, also Utah, Wyoming, just to see where Wyoming kind of stacks up.
Yeah.
If they do cover that spread and make it kind of respectable in the second half,
yeah,
might be a good year for the Cowboys.
Yep.
We'll see. But Air Force, Utah State, certainly interesting.
First league game of the season, too. Certainly of the Mountain West slate, that's, to me, the most interesting one I'll have the most attention on.
Yeah, we'll see how the power rankings shift here. CSU could move up, even though they're not playing. It depends on the teams in front of them and what they do.
That's true. Sometimes not playing can be good.
Can be a good thing. I don't know. Is this a good time to have a bye for CSU?
I would have leaned toward not, but then with how that game went, I thought, well, maybe it is.
You just need some time away.
And Jay Norvell has said that he likes having a September bye, which kind of surprised me. But
that is, and I'm not, I mean, as a fan, it seems strange. But if a coach
thing
is
saying, especially in this age when you do have so much turnover every year, it gives you a chance, like you get a little bit of kind of proof of what is and isn't working, and then a chance to retweak that and get resettled into the season in a way.
Southern is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I think maybe I didn't know that.
Baton. I like to say
Baton Rouge. Why is right? They're south of somewhere.
They were south. You got it. Nailed it. All right, there we go. That's what Kevin likes this weekend. Just a bonus question for you.
Mm.
Not that you've done any research on this. UNC or South Dakota, who's going to win that game?
South Dakota.
South Dakota's really good.
Yeah, that's a nice program. I'm not going to pretend to know a ton about them, but I know that pretty consistently they're pretty good.
Yeah, they were returning a few all-conference players. New coach, but a lot of their studs from last year carrying over. All right, 2:49 the time. We will wrap up Rams Weekly coming up next. Final thoughts on the week that was from Kevin. Also, going forward, UTSA, we'll get more into that next week, but that is, as Kevin pointed out earlier, that is a monster game, as are the rest of the non-conference games on the schedule for Colorado State. We'll be right back. Rams Weekly is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Kevin, bye week for Colorado State. So we're just kind of now the big push is like what's going to happen with the quarterback competition. When do you think we might know something on that front?
Yeah, I'm really curious what it's going to be like. Normally, Jay Norvell's pretty open about whatever things going on around the program. He has a Monday press conference, and then he talks again Wednesday before the game. That's kind of the last public availability. My hunch would be that he'll announce a starter either Monday or Wednesday, but I could see him kind of playing it close to the vest and trying to keep UTSA a little off balance of knowing. But yeah, I'm fascinated. I think maybe I would slightly lean right now toward Brainfowder Nicolosi starts again, but with a short leash. But I certainly wouldn't be surprised if there's a change. I mean, we've seen it before.
And I know you answered this kind of already, but just for our listeners' sake, do you think, okay, he says BFN's still going to be the guy going forward, but good, bad, or ugly, we're still going to see Brousseau in at some point?
If BFN starts and he's good, no. I mean, there's no sense in changing if things start going well. But yeah, I think the leash, if BFN is the starter, I think the leash is quite short. Jay Norvell, after Saturday's game at against UNC, even kind of suggested that he considered it. Obviously didn't do it, but considered it, which means it's close. So yeah, it certainly won't be a surprise if we see Jackson Brousseau.
Kind of initial thoughts, and I know we'll get into this more next week, UTSA, you know.
Yeah, I haven't done a deep dive. I think their offense can be pretty darn good. I think really good running team. It seems like they've been pretty vulnerable defensively. Texas State put up, I think, 43, is that right, on them? So again, that's where, you know, if you're looking, it's like, well, you know, the offense needs to make some hay here, but they're going to be a good team. I mean, they'll probably be 1-2 by that time, but they're 0-2 right now. They play Incarnate Word this week. But it's Texas A&M and Texas State. I don't think bad losses, certainly not the A&M one. They're going to be good. You know, take ESPN matchup predictor with a giant grain of salt, but they basically have as a 50-50 game. I've had this circled for months as one of the most important swing games of the season. It's, you know, this is the type of kind of G5, G6 competition that if you want to be at the top of that G5, G6 level, you win these games, especially at home. So big, big one. It's going to be a tough game. National TV, FS1, 7:30. I would expect another really big student crowd. It should be a fun night. I'm actually really excited. I think it's going to be a fun game.
I love the later games. You know me, Kevin. The later, the better for me.
Yeah, I mean, canvas under the lights is pretty nice. It should be a fun night.
Yeah, and plus, you know, you all know what waits after that. After seeing what Washington State did to San Diego State,
yeah,
that could be a dogfight.
Yeah, the next two before Mountain West play are just very big.
Are you ready to turn the page on this one? It was a very strange week for Colorado State and the fans.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think obviously we'll see what happens with the quarterback situation. But I do also feel that just because CSU played poorly in that game doesn't mean necessarily that the season's going to go straight downhill or anything like that. I think they're still, you know, pretty talented group in that room.
And week two, we kind of saw it all over the place. I mean, Clemson's having issues. There's a lot of good teams that have issues with teams they're supposed to absolutely destroy. Yeah. So week two, kind of, not to make an excuse, but it does open up for a lot of wacky things to happen.
Yeah, like I say, CSU played pretty well at Washington, and it obviously didn't mean that they were guaranteed to play well the next week. So just because you played poorly doesn't mean 2 weeks later you'll play poorly again. So you can fix things. Teams do and have and will again.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes on it for sure. Kevin, any specific items you're working on here in the next couple of days that we can check out at the Colorado one?
Yeah, the biggest thing obviously moving forward will be the quarterback competition. On the, you know, non-football side, the CSU volleyball team hosts Notre Dame Friday night in their wideout game. They're looking for a student record of their own. I believe the previous student record is like 4,200. I think they have a chance to break that, so it should be a really fun night Friday night at Moby Arena, as the volleyball team has a big crowd for to play against Notre Dame.
Yeah, definitely. Big opportunities there for that volleyball team for sure. Kevin, great work from you as always, my friend. And we'll reconvene next week, and we'll start looking at all things UTSA and
we'll
kind of go from there.
We have a QB answer next week.
Hopefully by Thursday we have something. That'll do it for us. Rams Weekly. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you can get us at 1310kfka.com. Goodbye, everyone.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.